Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Saturday after Thanksgiving. We got a jam-packed show for you as always, and we're going to be starting things off here in just a moment. We're going to be talking some fantasy football, so write down these digits, 917-889-8516, the digits that you need to know to get on the panel with Fantasy Football Huddle. Also on the line with me, as usual, my intern co-host, Mr. Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Super Colts Fan. How we doing, Brian?
Good. How you doing, Tom?
We're ready to rock and roll. Ready to rock and roll. Now, you're on your way to Indianapolis?
Yes, I am.
You're on your way to Indianapolis to see the Colts and the Panthers. Obviously, you and I will be down there for that game tomorrow. Tell us a little bit what's on the agenda for the Indianapolis Colts this week.
Well, hopefully, it better turn around than, it's too bad it wasn't another bye week. I mean, at least we didn't have to worry about losing. But, I mean, hopefully maybe we can pull it through. I just hope that if we get one win this year, it is at home. Because the fans deserve it, that city deserves it, and we want to see a win at home.
Well, that'd be awesome. For the first game I've been able to go to this season is to be able to see the Colts put out a win. We'll be right back with Fantasy Football Huddle, and our expert panel is right on board with us right here on the Balance Radio Network. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today. Weather's been nice down here, huh?
Yeah, it has been. You know, it's
beautiful.
It was chilly last Sunday. It was chillier last Sunday, absolutely. But it's been nice.
This ain't no 50 degree right here now.
Well, they get this place cold before the game, don't they?
It was cold.
It's 22 degrees out here. It's bleeding.
So much for no rain, huh?
Coming down now.
Stay warm over here. Hey, stay warm over here now. It's cold.
All right, it is Fantasy Football Huddle right here on the Balance Radio Network across the United States. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and as usual, I'm joined by my panel of experts on fantasy football. We've got Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Super Colts fan. We've also got Michael Daly, a.k.a. Heat Miser. And
good morning,
we've got,
sir.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
And we've got Mr. Chad, a.k.a. Axel, whose name I cannot pronounce, last name I cannot pronounce. Mr. Chad, how are you doing?
Hey,
sir?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Hey, we're ready to rock and roll, guys. We're ready to rock and roll. All right, Chad, we're going to start with you a little bit because I know that you are on top of everything. And Chad has become my official lineup guidance director. So if I lose this week, I'm just going to – as long as I keep winning, I'm going to let Chad handle things for me. So, Chad, I know that you're always on top of injuries and you're on top of everything. So let's start with the injuries. What are some of the important injuries that fantasy football owners have to look out for this week?
Well, as a Wes Walker owner, I am loving the fact that Nnamdi Asamoah might not play. So Wes Walker could actually have a rebound game. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to. And the other thing is in another league, Andre Johnson is coming back. So as much as people want to think that he won't be used as much, what I am concerned is if I were an Arian Foster or Ben Tate owner, I'd be a little concerned because of the fact that maybe red zone catches and things like that might go Andre Johnson's way if they do get down there, which they will versus the Jaguars. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. So, and besides that, it's kind of like all Ray Rice and Franco owners probably are wondering how the rest of their lineup is going to do after a brutal, brutal Thursday night game where both Ray Rice and Frank Gore were considerably limited. So that's basically where things stand. So I'll let
all right, well,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know that there's a lot of key players out, and obviously those Jay Cutler owners are probably a little disappointed this year as well. So, Mike, are you dealing with any injuries today?
Well, actually, sort of. I've got I do have Michael Vick on the bench, but fortunately I got Cam Newton to take his place. But I'm also actually I'm dealing with Peyton Hillis possibly coming back. So in one of my leagues, I have Hillis. I'm really faced a decision between Cedric Benson and Peyton Hillis. And Brian, by the way, they are facing each other today.
Funny guy.
Just gotta get that out there. it's a tough one because Peyton Hillis, you know, he's capable of really breaking out. I'm leaning towards just leaving in Cedric Benson. I've had this policy of waiting a week when somebody comes off an injury just to make sure they're really okay. Twice this year, earlier in the year, I put in Arian Foster when he was hoping he was over his hamstring injury, and then he got in the game and pulled it pretty quick. Also, Peyton Hillis had another injury early in the year and he came in, re-injured himself pretty quickly, and so I really suffered during those two times. So then I dropped that policy of just sitting him on the bench for that first week back, and when I saw Willis McGahee was coming back, I went ahead and grabbed him and stuck him on the bench too, and then he busted out for 39 points. So I really don't know if that's a good policy or not.
All right, Brian, before we go to a break, real quickly, sum up some of your thoughts on what these guys have talked about and anything that might be on your mind as far as injuries go.
You know, you were saying about Peyton Hillis, and, you know, I believe it's the Madden curse, you know. I mean, anybody, you know, that's been on the cover of Madden is just absolutely stunking up the next year. And I mean, if I played fantasy football, there's no way in the world I would pick Peyton Hillis. There's just no way, because I mean, yeah, he's a good running back, but it's just something about that. It's just, you know, something's bound to happen. It seems like it always does. So I mean, if you have somebody else, I mean, you know, you need to have somebody else over Peyton Hillis. What I'd be leaning towards.
Yeah, if he had if he had a contract, probably all the injuries will vanish.
Yeah, it could be.
How true that happens. Guys, if you want to talk about your fantasy football team, myself and our panel of experts are right here for you. We're going to take a break, and we get right back. We're going to dive right in to this week of Fantasy Football Huddle.
Pump it up while your feet are stumping, and the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more, get the party going on the dance floor. See, because that's where the party.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, G Balance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
All right, it's game day. You only got one job to do. That's win. That means you stay focused for four quarters. Know your assignments and finish on every play. Don't be looking for shortcuts, and don't even think about making excuses. Because if you want the W, you're going to have to earn it. Nothing comes for free. Not 1 yard. You pay for it with sweat, with determination, with heart. You do things the right way, because that's the only way. You pick up your teammates. You keep your head high. And you remember everything you went through to get here. Because at the end of the day, there's only one person looking back at you in the mirror. And that's one person you don't want to cheat. So now it's on you. It's your decision to make. You're going to hold back and leave a little something inside? Or you're going to do your job and leave nothing?
All right. Fantasy Football Huddle. You know what that music means, guys. It's time to break down this week's lineup. And we're going to start with our expert panels. I don't know which. But we're going to break down these various different positions. We're going to start at the top with the quarterback situation. Obviously, those of you that have Jay Cutler, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you, do not play Jay Cutler this week. So we'll start at the quarterback situation, and let's talk about some matchups. Again, if you guys have some questions, give us a call about some key matchups that you might have. So let's start at the quarterback situation as far as matchups go, going into, I believe, week 11. Can you believe that it's week 11 already in fantasy football? Now's the time to really week 12? See, even worse.
Yeah.
I lost the week somewhere.
Week 11 in our league.
That's right.
Week 12.
I'm co-commissioner in one league and commissioner in the other league. You would think I would know that it is week 12 matchups, and we don't want to talk about week 11 matchups because we'd be way off, wouldn't we? So let's start with some upcoming quarterback matchups for week number 12. And we'll start with you, Chad. And I've been sad sack. I will sad sack myself. There's about three quarterbacks I want to talk about, and the first one being Matthew Stafford and Sean Hill. So let's go ahead, Chad. We'll start with you, and we'll move around the table. Go ahead.
Matthew Stafford has already played, Tom.
Am I still working? Looking at week 11?
Oh, no, he played the Thanksgiving game, so. All right.
I've got a sick on the hat track, guys. My goodness. You're right, he played on Thursday. So we got two quarterbacks I want to talk about. Has Tim Tebow played? No, he has not. So let's start with him.
He was the one I was going to talk about. Tim Tebow, 10 days rest. And if you remember, he started his debut with the Chargers, and within a half, he scored about 16 points or something. So Chargers are susceptible on the ground. The question is how much of the running game the Broncos are going to leverage Tim Tebow, and how much of it they're going to leverage the running backs, and Willis McGahee and others. So that's going to affect Tim Tebow's potential. And after hearing all this talk from John Elway, I'm thinking Tim Tebow comes in and throws for at least one touchdown and runs in for one touchdown. So there'll be two touchdowns on Tim Tebow's part that I expect in this game. And the Denver defense has been sneakily good, and Philip Rivers has been throwing picks like crazy. So, and so basically, Denver will still keep the game close, I feel, but whoever makes plays at the end is bound to be the winner in the Chargers-Broncos game. And the weather forecast seems to be in the high 70s, low 80s, and it's going to be clear, no rain for the Chargers-Broncos game. So, expect to be a good game for both quarterbacks, Rivers and Tebow.
All right, Michael Daly, Tim Tebow, thoughts?
Tim Tebow is Tim Tebow. He's different, but I think you can expect probably around 20 about every game. I mean, he's really not going to. Sometimes he can get over that, sometimes less, but it's going to hover somewhere around that area. I think, usually he's going to do terrible for most of the game, and then, when it comes down crunch time, he's going to shine. So that's pretty much what I've seen just about every game out of him. I think you're going to continue to see the same thing.
Okay, Brian, thoughts on Tim Tebow?
This guy is a different style quarterback we haven't seen for a long time. I mean, it seems like he's just always coming down to the fourth corner and right at the end. And, I expect him to throw, one touchdown, probably two picks. But then, if the game is close at the end, he's going to pull it. He would pull it out. And we'll see how long that run lasts. And San Diego, they're just a big disappointment this year. Like you said, Philip Rivers just throwing interceptions like crazy. He cannot see the field. And Tim Tebow, I expect one touchdown, two interceptions, one or two touchdown runs possibly. This guy's he's just fun to watch.
Well, there is a logical explanation as to why he does well only at the end of the game. It's because the Broncos choose to run the read option with Tebow primarily running more towards the end of the game, because if they do that for 60 minutes, most quarterbacks in the NFL will get killed. So that's why, and they try to mix it up with the traditional offense much more in the first three quarters. And that's why Tebow's numbers are down, because in the traditional offense, he does suffer, whereas in the read option where he gets to run, his numbers are better. But they can't run that for 60 minutes, so they end up running it with Tebow predominantly running towards the fourth quarter, and that kind of logically explains why his numbers have been much better in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that offensive playbook has to be something totally different than what offensive coaches have ever seen before.
Yeah.
Well, I like Tim Tebow a lot, guys, and And he's a class act, and he's got to be one of the luckiest quarterbacks out there. But I think it's because he's got God on his side. And, you know, it's always good to see these athletes with good being good role models and praying on the sidelines. But that said, Tim Tebow is doing a fantastic job. Obviously, he enters week number six as the Broncos' starting quarterback with a 4-1 record. And, you know, with all of the distractions that have been going on there in Denver this year, and obviously this week we looked at Kyle Wharton being traded off. In week 12, he faces the team he started his 2011 campaign against, and obviously that's the San Diego Chargers. After the half in week 5, Tebow relieved Bronco Kyle Orton, which is no longer a Bronco. He's a Kansas City Chief. And, guys, we don't really have time to get into this, and I mentioned some of this to Brian earlier this week. I think Kyle Orton is going to be a great quarterback out there at Kansas City, and I would say go ahead and pick him up. We don't really have time to get into all of that. But I just think this time around that Tim Tebow does a great job. He'll have, like you said, Chad, he'll have the full 60 minutes. And I think that Tim Tebow is doing a great job of keeping the Denver Broncos in the chase for the AFC West. So I think we're all in agreement this week to start Tim Tebow. Am I right? Does anybody disagree with me?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Depends on who else you got, but yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on if you have Aaron Rodgers or something as their primary quarterback. So.
If you've got Tim Tebow, or if you've got Tim Tebow or Jay Cutler, I'd go with Tebow this week.
Absolutely. Hopefully it's going to take Cutler a while. Hopefully it's going to take Cutler a while since I have Pittsburgh.
What about Painters?
Well, actually, talking about injuries, Tom Joseph Addai is coming back from injury, and expect the Colts to run all over the Panthers.
Hey, I think it's going to be a good game. I'm going to be there. And you know what? This is the honest-to-God's truth. I've never been to a Colts game that they've lost, ever. So they've got the luck of Tom on their side. So
they need to get you season tickets.
Really? All right, guys. Another quarterback person that I'd like to talk about, Matt Hasselbeck, down there in Tennessee. Chad, what are your thoughts, Matt Hasselbeck, this weekend? Obviously, they play Tampa Bay, Josh Freeman. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm not so sold on Matt Hasselbeck's effectiveness versus Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay does give up points to quarterbacks, but they have done a pretty good job of bottling up Matt Ryan, Drew Brees. And even they are a few teams to pick off Aaron Rodgers. So they play the pass better than they play the run, to be honest with you. And the running game, the Tennessee offensive line, for some reason, they are not like the offensive line from a few years ago. They're more, they play more like a pass-blocking offensive line than a run-blocking, and that shows in Chris Johnson's numbers. And Chris Johnson, everybody runs on the Panthers. He ran against the Panthers as well. But Tampa Bay, I'm not really sold on Chris Johnson's ability to help out Matt Hasselbeck in this game. And I expect, actually, Tampa Bay to pull a surprise upset. And I'm not sold on Hasselbeck's ability to get two or more touchdowns.
Michael, go ahead.
I like Hasselbeck. I think he's pretty solid. He had a rough game last week against Atlanta, but for most of the year, I think he's been pretty good. And I think he's going to have a pretty decent game. I think at least 20. He's going to score at least 20 fantasy points this week. I think he's just got solid veteran leadership. I think he surprised everybody at how well he's done. I think a lot of people kind of wrote him off when he came there and didn't really expect much out of him. I think he's done a pretty good job. Tennessee's got some missing pieces, but I think he's been – one part of it's been fairly solid. I'd expect a decent game out of him.
Okay, guys, I want to move on then into some other positions because we've only got a few minutes left here in the huddle because we've got a guest calling in here at 9:30. So let's go ahead and jump into the running backs, thoughts on running backs. Now, you know, as we just talked about with Chad, that and Axel, I should say, whatever, you know, that Joseph Addai will be back for the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, he's somebody to look at this week. But more than anybody, I want to go back to Tennessee game. I think this has got a lot of good fantasy potential as far as a game breakdown. So I want to look at Chris Johnson in this game and starting him this week. Axel, what are your thoughts?
Well, I would start him in a traditional league, but not as much so in a PPR league. I think Javon Ringer was going to eat into the catching part of it, but yeah, he's a decent play, good enough for about 10 points, but I wouldn't expect any major home runs or anything like that. I mean, he's not a bruiser back like LeGarrette Blount, who can take 10 tacklers with him, so he's not that kind. So either he hits the gap, but then Tampa Bay plays defense just like the Bears and the Colts do, with the Tampa too, with speed all over the field, and they can bottle him down, in my opinion, especially given how well the Tennessee O-line has been blocking for him. So, 10 points tough.
Still there?
Helps. Yeah, it helps if I turn on my mic. Go ahead, Mike.
I was speechless.
Yeah. I was talking, y'all just didn't hear me. Go ahead, Mike.
I think Chris Johnson, he has struggled this year for sure, but I think he's going to have a decent game. I think in the high teens, simply because even though Tampa Bay has been fairly decent against the run, the last 4 to 6 weeks, they've really kind of struggled. They've given up 10 running touchdowns in the last 6 weeks. I think they're going to end up, I think Johnson's going to get a couple of those touchdowns, and I think that he's going to run over him a little bit. He's going to have like I say, he's not having a great year, so he's not going to have a bust-out 30-point game, but I do expect the high teens.
Okay, real quickly, Brian.
You know, Johnson's been I think he's just been a disappointment this season. And, I mean, if Johnson and LeGarrette Blount were both on my fantasy team, after seeing what LeGarrette Blount did, you know, a week ago, I mean, if actually getting a chance to watch him actually for the first time, I would definitely pick LeGarrette Blount over Johnson. I mean, Johnson's just been a disappointment. You're wondering when he's going to break out. But, I mean, you know, if you need the points, you know, you wonder when it's actually going to happen.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, they got the Panthers coming in, and I want to make sure that we put them in our fantasy football discussion. As we talked about just a while ago, Joseph Addai is back. Well, we assume that he's back, and we assume that he's going to play. If not, obviously, I think he's going to be splitting carries between him and Delone Carter. So, Axel, is he a safe play this week?
Well, actually, to me, the safest play among the Colts running backs would actually be Donovan Brown. So the way he's been running and the fact he ran well against Cincinnati and games after that, he's been kind of the lone bright spot. And more than Joseph Addai, I might actually be willing to wager on the fact that Addai and Brown will get the majority of the carries, and Donovan Brown might be the one who might surprise his production. And both of them make good flex plays. If you're using three running backs, I mean, they make a good third running back in most leagues. So.
All right. Michael, do you have any thoughts?
I agree with Chad. I think it's Donald Brown's a better pick. But I do think it's vulnerable. When you do have a mix of Colts running backs trying to share the load, I would really stay away from playing any of them. I think if you got somebody that is more solid, more consistent, is not having to compete for the carries, I think that's the way to go. But I do think if you have to pick one of them, I would say Donald Brown.
All right, real quickly, Brian.
Yeah, Joseph Addai to me, I mean, ever since his rookie year, he just has not been the same person. And, I mean, you know, he's a nice guy and everything. I've had chances to talk to him and stuff, but, I mean, my favorite back that we have is Delone Carter. I mean, that guy's just a bowling ball, you know. And I mean, yeah, if you have anybody else on your fantasy team, I'd take I don't care who it is, I'd take them.
Anybody but Joseph Addai is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, well, he's decent, but I mean, he's just not. I think he's becoming more of, kind of a disappointment in a way. But I don't know. He's looking like he's more fragile too,
I also think that it might be a case of Donald Brown might be starting with Addai coming off as a off the bench kind of role, easing him out of the injury. So I expect that to be the option that the Colts might take, as opposed to just putting Addai in as a starter.
Okay, well, I want to talk about some key players, some real quickly here. I just want to go through some key pickups here on Fantasy Football Huddle, and we got to go to a break. And we've got a great guest coming up here at the bottom of the hour, going to fill us in on the Penn State situation. We're going to talk some NFL football with him. I'm going to talk some Eagles and, what's going on in the Philadelphia area. So real quickly, Chad, here are some of my key pickups this week. Vince Young, Kyle Orton, and Matt Moore. Agree or disagree?
Vince Young, agree. Kyle Orton, depends on if they still, Kansas City is going to have a running game, because Dexter McCluster and Thomas Jones have been very much hit and miss. Jamal Charles was a sure thing. So Kyle Orton will have to throw a bunch. Yeah, it might help his numbers, but how effective he's going to be and if he's going to be throwing more picks, it all depends on that. And Kansas City defense, it depends. They're night and day between home and on the road. And so a lot of factors. I mean, I'd still hold off on Kyle Orton because Tyler Palco is still starting this Sunday night. And Matt Moore, actually, I will buy, because the Miami Dolphins defense is playing so well that Matt Moore ends up getting a good field position several times, because the Dolphins defense is forcing a lot of punts and even turnovers. So that's why I'm buying Matt Moore. And who's the first one?
Vince Young.
And for this game, Vince Young and for Matt Moore. But Kyle Orton, I'd still wait.
Okay. Well, that's going to have to do it here today for guys for our Fantasy Football Huddle. We'll be right back. We got a great guest lined up going to fill us in on the whole Penn State saga. And, yes, it continues, and we're going to talk some NFL football with him, all from the city of a brotherly love. Can't even talk today. I'm Stad Sack. We'll be right back right here on the Balanced Gridiron on Saturday after Thanksgiving. Do you like what you hear on the Balanced and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Meet the Muppets on the Muppet Show tonight.
All right, welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron. My name's Tom Martin with Al Presidente, streaming coast to coast. So glad that you could join us all over the nation. Also want to take a real quick moment to welcome our newest sponsor from Terre Haute, Indiana, M&M Cleaning. Guys, check this out. They clean while you sleep. You know, you leave your office and you leave your trash can and it's got stuff in it. And you're like, oh, man. You come back, your desk is all dusted off and your garbage can is emptied. The floors are vacuumed. It's not Gremlins. It's M&M Cleaning. So you want to make sure that you give them a call out there in Terre Haute. They give free estimates, 812-251-6282. Ask for Matt, and he will make sure that your office is clean because they clean while you're asleep. Well, Brian, I tell you what, we cannot get enough football around here. Absolutely not. So we're joined by a great guest now with us, and I know I butchered his last name last time, so I'm just going to go with Mr. Ed. Edward Kratz. Did I say it right this time, sir?
Yes, you did. Edward Kratz. That's right. Ed Kratz. How you guys doing? Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you as well. Did you get your tryptophan on?
My tryptophan?
Yeah. Did you get plenty of tryptophan, beer, and football on Thursday?
Oh, yeah. I sure did. I got plenty of that, that's for sure. I haven't been off the couch a whole lot since.
Well, a lot we want to talk about, and real quickly, Edward, you write, go ahead and tell our listeners who you write for and how they can find your work, and we're going to dive right into some football talk, and we'll get into Penn State as well here in a moment.
Yeah, sure. You can find me on a website. It's called www.phillyberbs.com, and you can put a /Eagles on that, and that'll bring up anything you want to know about the Philadelphia Eagles. You can also
find
me on Twitter. Twitter also, it's Kratze, K-R-A-C-Z-E. Here's my Twitter.
Yeah, and
so that's how you can find me.
I need to get a follow from you now. Just capital T, capital B, and then the rest of the word balance. I'll make sure I follow you after the show, for sure. And we'll make sure that we include you in all the upcoming tweets about the show whenever you're on and so forth. Well, let's talk about a game that really is not inside of the Philadelphia area, but I'm sure that everybody knows about. A year ago, the Green Bay Packers lost Aaron Rodgers to an injury in the second quarter of mid-December and fell meekly to the Detroit Lions. Going into this game on Thursday, I felt like the Detroit Lions had a good opportunity to beat the Green Bay Packers. So let's just kind of dissect that game a little bit. Obviously, the Packers controlled that game, the whole game, and you know there was a little bit of unsportsmanship action on the field. So, Ed, if you could go ahead and give us your thoughts on that game, and Brian, we'll go to you as well on that.
You know, Tom, I agree with you. I thought that the Lions would have had a good chance to win that game, but I think the Packers were hearing that a lot of people thought that. And that may have, you know, poked the angry bear, if you will, and made it a little bit more motivated to go into Detroit and win that game. At the beginning of the year, I thought if you looked at the schedule, maybe Detroit could have snuck up on Green Bay a little bit. But the way the Lions play, you know, how feisty they are on the field, and like you said, a little bit of unsportsmanlike conduct from Ndamukong Suh, I just think that, you know, the Lions really haven't won anything yet. They really haven't done anything, and it's just a shame that they're taking this. They're almost like the Pistons, the Detroit Pistons, you know, the bad boys of the NBA when they won the league. But in order to do that, the Lions really need to win something, and I think the Packers really wanted to go in there and make a statement. I know a lot of people thought the Lions could win that game, but I think the Packers thought that too, and they said, you know what, we're the best team in this division. Let's just go out and prove it.
Now, do you think, Ed, do you think that the Lions have ran out of gas?
Well, I sure hope not. You know, still a quarter of the season left to play. I don't get that sense. I just think that they need to play a little bit more disciplined. Maybe they need to control their emotions a little bit better. And if you do play with a lot of emotion week in and week out, you can empty your gas tank rather quickly. So, you know, maybe that's true. It's up to Jim Schwartz to kind of get a hold of those emotions and let them loose at the appropriate times out on the field.
All right, Brian, go ahead and give us your thoughts or ask Ed any thoughts that he might have on the Green Bay game.
You know, I've said ever since, like, week four that I don't see anyone on the schedule that can beat Green Bay this year. I mean, I expect them to go all the way. And, you know, Detroit, they came on hot, and now they're just, you know, they're going cold. And, you know, I didn't expect them to win this game, but I expected it to be, you know, a pretty, you know, well-fought game all the way to the end. And, you know, when Dominic Sue got ejected, I mean, that was pathetic. And, you know, I'll talk more about that later. But, I mean, I think after that, I mean, the game pretty much went the Packers' way. You know, I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch the game, so, you know, with family and stuff, but I watched the highlights. And, you know, I think Detroit still, you know, they have a chance to get in the playoffs. And, I mean, I like their coach. You know, I like their quarterback, you know, their receivers. And, you know, they're still a young team. And, that, you know, people need to understand that Detroit, you know, I know we're in Detroit now. And, you know, Detroit fans, I mean, you know, they got a good future ahead of them. I mean, that team's going to be a really good team. And, you know, they're really showing it this year. It's just, When they can get that chemistry completely together, play a full season completely all the way through, they're gonna be all right. They're gonna be all right.
Well, yeah, nice save.
I was just gonna say, I think Detroit needs a running game. I'm sorry to chime in there, but I just think Detroit needs a bit of a running game too. And
yeah.
I know the Philadelphia Eagles, tried to help them out in that regard by trading them Ronnie Brown back when the trading deadline was here in the middle of October. And I really think that would help the Lions. Ronnie Brown still has a lot in the tank, in my opinion. He just can't get on the field here in Philadelphia with LeSean McCoy. But I think if the Lions can get a running back next year, that would really help them.
Well, they did lose that one in the preseason. I can't remember his name. They lost the one. Yeah, the one in the preseason when he got injured, he was out for the entire year. I mean, I thought he was going to be, you know, a pretty good one, but.
And he still could be. I think his name's Javid Best.
Is it Javid? Is it Best?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. I'm still new to the Detroit one. I'm not. You know. Not on as much as the Colts.
Well, that's fine. And nice save there, Brian. By the way, when you were starting to ditch the Detroit Lions, at least you remembered that we are on in Detroit and we do have Detroit listeners. And I tell you what, I don't want to make them mad. So, no, I'm just kidding.
I like the Lions. They're going to be good.
They've had a great year. Now let's move on down the line here. Obviously, good game coming up, Ed. Philadelphia and the Patriots. Now that's a battle I personally am looking forward to following this week. So, can the Philadelphia Eagles beat Tom Brady and the Patriots?
Well, on Wednesday, if you would ask me that question, I would have said yes, they can. On Thursday morning, however, they lost one of their key players, Nnamdi Asamoah, their cornerback, their high-priced free agent cornerback from the Oakland Raiders that they signed. He hyperextended his left knee during practice while covering a receiver. And the plan for him was to they were going to match him up against Rob Gronkowski, the New England Patriots superstar tight end. I'm sure all your listeners out there know who he is. He's close to the touchdown receiving record for the league. He's got 10 touchdowns. The record in the NFL is 13 for tight ends. He's had 5 in his last 3 games. So he'll be a handful. He would have been a handful even if Asamoah was healthy. But he tweaked his knee. There's still a chance that he may play. It's not for sure. He has not been ruled out. He's listed as questionable. He did some running yesterday on Friday. We'll see how practice goes today. Of course, it's closed to the media, so I won't be able to know anything probably before the end of the day. I'm sure someone will let me know. A source will tell me. But if he can't go, that really leaves the Eagles shorthanded, and they're going to end up starting a rookie or a third-year cornerback who would be making his first NFL start in Brandon Hughes, who was signed off of a practice squad last year. That said, the New England defense is dead last in the NFL, And if the Eagles can move the ball, which I think they will, this could be a really high-scoring type of a game, which fans love to watch points. And I think you could see quite a few of them in this game.
Oh, absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think this is going to be a great game. Obviously,
yeah.
The Eagles' defense can be a problem. You know, Brady is one of the great quarterbacks of all time, next to Peyton Manning. But he's still a human. And I know one thing that Tom Brady hates. He hates the pressure up the middle. And,
yeah.
You know, Colin Jenkins is coming off his best game of the year. Last week he got, you know, regular pressure up the middle, and he did affect Little Manning. So, you know, Jenkins isn't the only guy who could be a force inside. And the Eagles are starting Vince Young this week and not their multi-million dollar quarterback, Michael Vick, which, by the way, I will say this every time I mention Michael Vick. I told you so. Get the best out of Michael Vick while you can, because he will not last the whole season. I told you so. But that said, any thoughts on that, Ed?
Yeah, we hit the nail right on the head. I don't think anybody expected Michael Vick to make it through this season. And sure enough, he hasn't. I mean, you could put the old Washington Redskins hogs line in front of him. And just the way he plays the game, the way he gets out of the pocket, runs downfield, does not like to go down on a slide. He'll dive head first. Just the way he plays the game really is going to take a lot out of him. And sure enough, he hasn't answered the bell for every game this year. Vince Young will start tomorrow. Vince Young will probably start Thursday night in Seattle. So I heard you talking on your fantasy huddle there. Picking up Vince Young might be a good thing, because he's going to start tomorrow, and I believe he'll start Thursday as well. And he played that first game last week and was a little bit rusty, but, boy, that was a heck of a drive he took the Eagles on to beat the Giants in the fourth quarter last week, an 18-play, 9-minute drive to win that game. And I suspect he's going to be even better tomorrow, having that one game under his belt, having now 2 weeks of working with the first-team offense. So everybody thinks that he won't be able to score enough points to keep up with Tom Brady tomorrow. I think Vince Young can. And if he wins tomorrow, I'm not going to say that he could put Michael Vick on the bench, because Michael Vick they're paying $100 million to. And I agree with you, Tom. I think you have to get what you can out of him before everything falls off. So we'll see how that works out.
Okay, Brian, do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't have the injury report from me, of course, I'm driving, but is Macklin and Jackson both out?
No, Jackson will play. Jackson was listed
Jackson
as probable. Yeah, he was in a walking boot after last week's game with the Giants. He was in a walking boot as of Tuesday. Wednesday he practiced slightly, and he's gotten better as the week's gone on. So Jackson will play. Jeremy Macklin probably will not. He's listed as questionable also. He did not play against the Giants because I was told it was more of his shoulder that was limiting his ability to catch the ball. This week, I understand it's his hamstring. He tried to practice on Wednesday, and the hamstring kind of tightened up on him. So he did not practice Thursday or Friday. So he's questionable. So maybe Riley Cooper, his backup, is someone else out there for the fantasy, your fantasy.
Yeah, I like Riley Cooper. I like him. He's a slim AJ Hawk that plays wide receiver, you know, with that long flowing Fabio hair. He's a good player. He's a good player, but I expect this game to be probably close. You know, I like the front four for the front defensive four for the Eagles, but
yes.
With Austin Moore going to be out, that thing is going to really change a lot. You know, a lot of the game plan there, and I would probably still bet that the Patriots win. It would be by a landslide. I expect it to be a close game.
Well, the thing the Eagles have in their favor too is they're a desperate team. Obviously, they're 4-6 coming into the game, so their backs are against the wall, and you know how that is when a wounded animal's back is against the wall, they're going to do everything they can to come out fighting, and they're in front of their home crowd, which hasn't exactly been an advantage for the Eagles this year. They're 1-4 at home this season, so I think they're I think that motivates them. They've been asked a lot of questions about why can't you win at home, what's the problem. So I think maybe that's going to be a bit of a motivator. And I think just the fact that they want to stay in this thing, the NFC East, now the Cowboys had a big win on Thursday over the Dolphins. But the NFC East, in my opinion, is still out there to be won if the Eagles can kind of, you know, maybe win out or maybe win five of the last six and get kind of, you know, keep the pressure on, keep the games interesting, keep them meaningful anyway. So that could be a big edge in the Eagles' favor, is that backs against the wall mentality.
Well, I think the Eagles have enough talent to win this game. I mean, they match up reasonably well with the Patriots, and the Eagles don't need to really do anything special to win this game. Now, unlike back in 2007 when the Eagles needed just a huge, great game plan and needed players to overachieve to be in a position to win. But right now the players, I think anyway, just need to do their jobs. And if the Eagles can limit mistakes, and I think they've got a great chance to come up with a big win on Sunday. I think the red zone could be very, very crucial. I don't think Philadelphia can settle for just field goals against the Patriots and win. You got to score touchdowns. And if the defense could come up with any red zone stops, I think that could be huge.
Yeah, and Tom, you made a great point earlier about pressuring Tom Brady. That's going to be incumbent on that defensive line of the Eagles, especially Kellen Jenkins, like you mentioned, up the middle, who came off a great game. I don't know if you watched the game. It was on Sunday Night Football, but he made a tremendous play at the end of the first half to hit a ball carrier about 20 yards downfield. He just hustled all the way down the field and put a hit on DJ Ware of the Giants and knocked him out of the game with a concussion. It was a clean hit. He wasn't fined for it. But it was a hustle play. He was 10 yards upfield rushing Eli Manning. Eli dumped it off to Ware, who began to run downfield, and Kellen Jenkins just turned around and started sprinting. And it was about 20 yards later when he finally made contact with Ware. But he's going to have to really control the middle of that line, put pressure up the middle, make Brady maybe take a step back where the defensive ends, Jason Babin, Trent Cole, Darryl Tapp, could be waiting for him.
Well, I tell you what, I want to shift gears on shifting teams here. Obviously, we want to get into the overshadowing update of Sandusky, but Penn State, Wisconsin, battle for the Big Ten yesterday. What were your thoughts on that game?
Penn State, Wisconsin, my thought, yeah, that's today, right? 3:30?
I'm sorry, not yesterday, today. What are your thoughts on that game today? I apologize. Sack number three, hat trick.
I'm gonna apologize for Tommy. He's still hungover from Thanksgiving. He needs call your wife and tell her to bring you some coffee, man.
You had me scared there, Tom. I thought I overslept or something. I thought I'd been on the couch too long.
I think I need to go. You know what it is, and I'll tell you, here's exactly what it is. I really haven't did anything work-wise or anything all weekend, and then I've been watching football. And then there were some college games on the other day, and I'm thinking that I'm one day ahead of myself. So Penn State, Wisconsin, battle for the Big Ten today. It would be a huge win today for Penn State.
Oh. it's going to be a tall task for Penn State, but I'll tell you what. There's some things I think that work in their favor. Number one, I think, is they're undefeated on the road this season. They're 4-0 away from home. They're 12-3 since 2008 in Big Ten road games, which is a pretty phenomenal record away from home. And I think particularly in this case, being away from home, being away from the mood that's going on at Penn State right now, and from that atmosphere, I think will benefit them even more. But we all know Wisconsin's a really tough place to play, and they're going to have their hands full. Monte Ball for Wisconsin is a tremendous running back. Russell Wilson, great, great quarterback. And I just think that, you know, it's going to be low scoring, right? I mean, Penn State's defense is very good, as is Wisconsin's, and that could be a low scoring game, unlike what we'll see with the Eagles and Patriots conceivably tomorrow. I think today, Penn State Wisconsin could be a game played in the teens to the low 20s. What do you think, Brian?
Andrew Luck.
Good.
That's code for Brian. He didn't know anything about college football. He only focuses on the NFL.
Well, Well,
yeah, you're new to this show, are you?
I'm still feeling my way along here, but I do know the game's today. You know, you have to give me some credit there.
That's absolutely right. Here's my thing. I like Penn State in this game, and obviously the Badgers are very heavy favorites. And we know what Wisconsin can do, and you know, and I'm going to be covering the Big Ten Championship here in Indianapolis this year, and so I'm sure I'll get to see Wisconsin play up close and personal. But it would be great to see Penn State get a Big Ten title as well. So, speaking of Penn State, let's talk about the farting elephant in the room, Sandusky. Now we're seeing members of his own family are coming forward and accusing him. Can you give us some update of what's going on with that mess?
Yeah, well, it doesn't seem like he has much of a leg to stand on. But, you know, he is innocent until proven guilty. But his own family coming out against him is that could be the end. It could be lead to a plea deal, conceivably. It just seems like every day there's something new that comes out about this whole situation. And I'll tell you, as far as Penn State's future on the football field goes, that is still very much in doubt, too. They just hired the former FBI director, Louis Free, to lead an investigation into everything that went on from the day Sandusky was hired until the day he left. And it's going to really be interesting to see what they come up with. The interim president of Penn State has said that if Free recommends that they drop football for a year, 2 years, whatever it is, then they will consider that. Every option will be on the table. And what's interesting is, you know, we have recruiting signing period is about 2 months away in early February here. And Penn State really doesn't have a coach. They have an interim coach. They don't have a president. They have an interim president, and the same thing with their athletic director. It's an interim athletic director. If you're going to try to get recruits to sign to come play football, you need to have this situation straightened out. You need to have a coach in place. And I'm not sure if you hire the coach before you hire the president. I would think that's putting the horse in front of the cart. So it would not surprise me if Penn State decides to maybe shut the program down for a year or two. It would really have far-reaching ramifications on the Big Ten, because right now they have six teams in each division, and that would hurt their championship game, right? You need six teams in each to have a fair championship game at the end of the season. But I don't see how Penn State can recruit players to keep the program viable when everything is still so up in the air. I know that there are a lot of recruits that have already kind of pulled back a little bit, that have given verbal commitments. They haven't signed anything, but they have said, including one right here in the Philadelphia area, the son of the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, his name's Skylar Morningweg. His father is Marty Morningweg, who's the offensive coordinator for Philadelphia. He's a 6'5", four-star recruit who has verbally committed to Penn State, but his father just said at the press conference this week now that his son is going to wait to see who Penn State names as its next head coach before he decides to sign. So I think there are a lot of sketchy, a lot of recruits out there that are very sketchy on whether or not they're going to commit to Penn State. And if you can't bring in a solid recruiting class that will allow you to compete in the Big Ten, I'm not sure you can keep the program afloat. We'll see. I mean, it's very, very interesting. And time, you know, everybody's on the clock here. The recruiting period is early February. I believe Sandusky's trial begins in December. That may get pushed back. But it just seems that there is so much still to sort out that I don't know how you can come in and name a head coach before February. Unless they say, you know what, we're going to stick with Tom Bradley as our interim coach through next season. But then the question becomes, what did Tom Bradley know? I mean, he was on Paterno's staff for so long, and you've heard so many former coaches and current coaches say, you know, staffs, football staffs are so close that it would surprise them if they did not know what was going on. So it's very, you know, it just gets murkier and murkier as the days go by, and nothing really ever becomes any clearer.
Yeah, Hey, Tom, turn your mic on.
Man.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You did it, didn't you? You did it.
I did it again. I did. I was sitting there. I was saying something. Oh, man. Button on. You know, radio one-on-one, and here's the thing. I have been formally educated in radio. That's what I do. And the lesson number one is the button that says on air, push. Because they're not going to hear it. I don't know why. You got to... All right, so guys, we do have to wrap it up. We're coming up to the top of the hour. Obviously, there's a lot of lessons to be learned out there at Penn State, and I by no means want to strike any witch hunts, but I just think that when the warning signs are there, that becomes teachable moments for other schools. And when the warning signs are there, which they were there with Sandusky, people need to act and act quickly and swiftly. Well, Ed, go ahead and tell us again where our listeners can find you. We'll be right back, and then we got to go to a break, and we're going to be back with Evan Williams from Purdue University, going to talk about those Boilermakers and bleeding black and gold. So, Ed, where can our listeners find your work?
PhillyBurbs.com. You can find me there, /Eagles. PhillyBurbs.com/Eagles, or KRACZE is my Twitter account.
Okay, Ed, well, don't be a stranger to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Guys, thanks a lot for having me back. Have a great weekend.
Uh-huh.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made...
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
All right, welcome back to the Balance Gridiron. Can never get enough of hand farts. It just something says start your Saturday morning with football and hand farts. It doesn't get any better than that. We do want to take an opportunity, though, to thank our brand new sponsors out in Terre Haute, Indiana. Check these guys out. They clean while you sleep. And I tell you what, if you guys ever forgot to empty your trash can or your desk has been kind of dusty and you come to work and the floor's vacuumed, the bathroom's smelling nice, the mirrors in the bathroom are done, somebody does that. And it's a company called M&M Cleaning in Terre Haute. With them, you'll experience a new level of clean. Their attention to detail and unsurpassed quality will make them the first and only choice for businesses and homes, for that matter, throughout the Indianapolis and Terre Haute area. So give them a call. M&M Cleaning out of Terre Haute. Ask for Matt. And I'm going to end up sad sacking myself again, Brian, on a brand new sponsor. Because you know why? I don't have their number up here, but call them. You can find them on the web as well. 812-251-6282. I think that I am just got that Thanksgiving Day hangover. I guess that must be what it is, because it isn't a real hangover, that's for sure. I wish it was, but it wasn't. So, with us joining us now, no stranger to the show either, Mr. Evan Williams, Purdue University, and Bleeding Gold and Black. How we doing, sir?
Hey, Tom. How's it going this morning?
Doing good, doing good. Okay, Purdue University. Let's start right in, jump right into some Purdue basketball talk. What's the latest with the Boilermaker Hoops?
Well, recently, Coach Matt Painter has announced that he's going to redshirt freshman forward Donnie Hale. Hale already spent a year at prep school prior to coming to Purdue. He's from New Albany, Indiana, and he graduated in 2010, but he spent last season at Brighton Prep in Maine to prepare for the rigors of college academics and basketball. And then now this year, he will also redshirt this year, so he won't actually see game action until next year when he's 21 years old as a redshirt freshman.
Well, there you go. 21 years old, a redshirt freshman. Should be graduating, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
All right. And I know, Brian, you are the expert on college basketball. Any thoughts on Purdue basketball real quickly before? Obviously, there's another game going on in Purdue today. I don't know. We could get into that game. But any thoughts? Any thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, I like Andrew Luck in the post. I mean, I think he's a pretty good shooter. Why do you even bother with me, Tom?
I can't help myself. Oh, my goodness. Today is going to be, you know, usually today is the day that Hoosier fans like myself, Indiana University, love them. Go Hoosiers. Today, Ross-Ade Stadium, the bucket game. It's supposed to be one of the key games. Throw out all – the rest of the season doesn't matter if you beat Purdue. All right, Evan, let's break down today's game, the bucket game.
Well, today is a very important game for both teams, obviously. IU hasn't been having a great year, so a win here today would kind of, I think from the IU fans that I know, would kind of make up for some of the losing of beating Purdue. And it's a big game for Purdue because a win gets them to 6-6, and they become bowl eligible, which would be the first time since 2007. Purdue, as we know, hasn't played very well on the road this year, and I think it's going to be a tough game because IU is going to come out motivated because they want to beat Purdue like always. I think Purdue does have an advantage on most parts of the offense and most parts of the defense. Coaching, IU actually have a little bit of an advantage there. But I do think Purdue will come out victorious today. It's going to be a close game. Purdue by no means will blow them out, in my opinion.
All right, we're talking with Evan Williams of Purdue University. He goes to school down at Purdue University and obviously the blogger of Bleeding Gold and Black. So what's going on? What's the latest on your blog there, Bleeding Gold and Black? I know you talked about some new recruits that have signed their national letters of intent here recently. So what's going on Bleeding and Gold and Black?
Well, I haven't updated in a little bit. I've been busy with a lot of school, and now I'm on Thanksgiving break. But as far as basketball recruits go, Purdue signed its 2012 class a couple weeks ago, and it's a very good class. It's by most recruiting and ranking services, it's the top 20 class. They signed four players, starting off with we have Rayfield Davis, 6'5", guard forward out of Fort Wayne. He's playing his senior year at LaPorte-Wallamere Prep School. He's also playing with future Boiler teammate, power forward Jay Simpson, 6'9 guy out of Champaign Central in Illinois. They're playing at Wallamere this year, getting a year of experience. They're playing against some very good talent across the country, Oak Hill Academy, Finley Prep, prep powerhouses like that. There's also 5'11 point guard Ronnie Johnson, who's the younger brother of current Boilermaker Tyrone Johnson. He's a very good point guard at Indianapolis North Central, one of the top high school programs in the state. And then the final recruit is 7-foot center A.J. Hammonds, who plays at Oak Hill Academy in Malpa Wilson, Virginia.
And he's a Gary, Indiana native, big guy, big forward, very good inside presence for the Boilers.
Now, let's talk about the upcoming Big Ten Championship. Obviously, we talked a little bit with our last guest about Penn State and Wisconsin. Do you have any thoughts, and I know that may not necessarily include Purdue in that, but what are your thoughts on the upcoming Big Ten Championship?
I'm excited to see it because it's the first time we've had an actual championship game. It should be a good atmosphere. Who's in it for the Legends division?
I don't know. I don't have all that up in front of me.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, go ahead. That's fine. We'll certainly get into more discussions about that. Now, let's talk a little bit about, because I know that you follow and you cover women's basketball. And I think women's basketball a lot of times doesn't get the attention, especially it certainly doesn't get the attention that men's basketball does. But obviously, women's basketball is becoming more and more popular. And the Purdue basketball teams are just traveling all over South America. The Purdue women, I believe, were in Cancun. So talk to us a little bit about the Purdue women's basketball.
Purdue women's basketball this year has a very good team. They're a top 25 team. I mean, obviously, in women's basketball, there's still that elite level with, you know, Stanford and Notre Dame, UConn, Tennessee, Baylor, that are really going to be hard to beat. But Purdue is a very good team. I think they're, you know, a top 20 team. They have a lot of experience coming back from last year. They've started off very well so far this year. They got a win last night. I like the team. I think they're going to be a good team. And Purdue basketball fans and women's basketball fans should definitely keep an eye on them.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned a great win that they got last night against Kansas State, 46-42 in overtime out there in Cancun. And I agree with you. I think that the Purdue women's basketball will be right there as well. Well, we got to get to a break here, and we'll be back, and we're going to jump back into our NFL conversations. Any thoughts, though, on the Colts and the Panthers tomorrow, Evan?
I think if the Colts want to get a victory, they should really try for it tomorrow. I think Carolina is a vulnerable team. They are pretty potent on offense with Cam and company, but I think that the Colts do have a chance tomorrow to beat the Panthers.
I hope you're right. I was saying earlier that I have never been to a Colts game that they've lost. So this is the first one I've been able to go to this season, and I've never been to a Colts game where I'm actually inside the game as a fan and they lose. So hopefully my luck will continue. Now, one thing, and I'm sorry I didn't ask you this earlier, and I want to ask you this real quick when we were talking about basketball. I like this Purdue freshman, Jacob Lawson, and I think he's going to be great for Purdue. Obviously, he's a big 6'8" guy. So tell us some of the thoughts that you may have on Lawson and his basketball career there at Purdue.
I really like Jacob Lawson's game. Watching him these first couple of games, I think he's been outstanding. He's still raw offensively, but defensively he's been great. He's big, 6'8", 220 pounds. He's going to be able to fight for rebounds. He's a tremendous shot blocker. He's already making an impact with that. I think there's a lot of upside there, and he's going to be great for Purdue in the coming years. He's a big guy, a lot of effort going into the game, hard worker, and he's even coming off an Achilles injury, and he's still looking very good. And when he gets to 100%, I can't imagine how explosive he's going to be.
Well, we're looking forward to watching him. Okay, real quickly, Evan, where can our listeners follow your work and anything that you got coming on that we didn't cover?
You can follow my blog at leadinggoldenblack.blogspot.com, and then you can follow me on Twitter at Evan_Williams25, and that's where I post all of my stories from my blog and just every little bit of things about Purdue and my life.
All right. Well, it's always good to have Evan Williams, college student as well, out at Purdue University, giving us the angle from the student. And also, make sure you check out his blog, Pretty Good, Bleeding Gold and Black. All right, Evan, don't be a stranger to the show. We'll be right back. We're going to jump right into some NFL talk for the rest of the Balanced Gridiron right here on the Balanced Radio Network.
Pump it up while your feet are thumping and the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more, get the party going on the dance floor. See, cause that's where the party's at, and you find out if you do that.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, G-Balance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Cannot get enough of the Muppets. As you can tell, there's a theme going on here. The new Muppet movie is out, guys. Go check it out. It's in theaters. Love to go see the Muppet movies. They are awesome to go see. You know, and it's been 12 years since the last time Kermit the Frog and his fuzzy little friends appeared in theaters. In fact, the new musical comedy, The Muppets, acknowledges and runs with the film directed by James Bowen of HBO's Flight of the Conchords, Brian. So there you go. Go check it out. And it's also starring that dude from How I Met Your Mother, Jason Segel. So it's going to be a good movie. I personally am a huge Muppet fan, Brian, and I'm looking forward to checking that movie out. How about you? You a Muppet fan?
Yeah, I used to watch Muppets a lot when I was a kid. I never knew about the movie, though. So I might have to go check that out.
You've just been so engrossed in Indianapolis Colts football that you have totally lost your surroundings, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my. You got to go see the Muppets, guys. Go check it out. Okay, guys. It's just me and Brian, a.k.a. Super Colts fan. Brian's obviously on his way to Indianapolis. Brian and I will be out at the Indianapolis, down at Lucas Oil in Indianapolis, Indiana, to check out the Panthers and the Colts. Now, Brian, you know, we don't get a chance to talk about it a lot, but you are going to be all decked out in your gear and getting pictures with people, and you really get the fans going. So tell us a little bit about what you do as Super Colts fan at every home game of the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, I usually try and get down there about 11 o'clock, you know, 2 hours before game time, right before the game starts. And
just get in and get down by the field and, you know, get some camera time. Me and my other super fan friend, Mike Hobson, we, you know, usually meet up together and hang out down there by the sideline and, you know, get some camera time. And we're usually down there by the Colts Tunnel, and sometimes we talk to some of the media down there and, you know, maybe get some autograph signings and stuff like that, and, you know, just interact with the fans and just have fun. And about an hour before the game starts, I usually head back up and I go out by the, I guess it would be, what, the north or west entrance where the band stage is right there, by the pro shop is usually where I go, and then I'm usually in that area until kickoff, and I'm over at my seat in 209.
209, and what's my seat, Brian?
208? You're right. Yeah, no, you're right next to me. I think it's like row 17. We're almost up against the wall, right? We're if you're looking at the goal line, if you're looking at the goal line, you know, the Colts one, where it says Colts, not Indianapolis, but the Colts, you go right up the goal line, and I'm right there, and you can't miss me with all the stuff that I wear. People say they see me from the other side of the stadium.
Well, there you go. I'm looking forward to it, Brian. And I want to thank Brian and Super Colts fans for giving me the opportunity to hang out with them tomorrow at the Indianapolis Colts game and just get a real look at what they do. And thanks to your girlfriend for not being able to come, or fiancé. No, I'm just kidding.
She's going to be so mad if we win tomorrow.
Well, it would be good to keep my record going, that's for sure. So let's dive right into this. Obviously, we got some other games to talk about, but since we're talking about the Colts, let's go ahead and jump right into that. Brian, the Colts and the Panthers, and obviously, you know, we were talking earlier with Ed, talk about a wounded animal up against the wall. This is an animal that's been shot. I think that time of death is, you know. What are some of the things that the Colts have to do? Obviously, we talked about the possibility of looking like Joseph Addai coming back. You know, you like Carter and Brown. So tell us a little bit what we've got to do to beat the Carolina Panthers here in Indianapolis.
You know, I'm a big scrambling quarterback fan, and you know, I'm excited to go watch Cam Newton tomorrow, and hopefully don't hurt us too bad. But I think we really, on the offense, our defensive side, of we have to contain Cam Newton. He's, you know, a good scrambling quarterback, and you know, he has one heck of an arm, and you know, he's still young. He's going to have a really good future ahead of him, but I mean, he's just tearing it up. I mean, by far, I think he's, you know, rookie of the year by far. And you know, I think we just need to contain him. And our offensive side of the ball, you know, it just seems like one game after another, you know, you fix one problem and something else comes out. And, you know, I think, you know, I've always said this, week after week, they need to finish, you know, finish what they start. And, you know, if Painter can just get, you know, some kind of rhythm going early, I think that we can win this game. You know, I mean, the Panthers, you know, haven't explosive offense, but, you know, look at their record. You know, I mean, they will lose the games, you know, and from my memory, I think they've taken a lot of games into the fourth quarter with the lead, and they've blown it. So, I mean, even if we're close, you know, if Painter can get some kind of rhythm going, I think we can win. I mean, I honestly do. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, a guaranteed victory, but I think this is a good chance, and you know, we need it. Being at home, you know, if we get one win this year, it has to be at home. It has to be at home because these fans are, you know, being there in the stands, you hear a lot. You hear a lot of it, a lot of complaining, a lot of, you know, people talking and stuff. And we just want that one win. We, you know, just that one win. I mean, we can afford to give up the one win now because there's no other team that's, you know, that only has one win. So we'll still have the first draft pick. So we can get one win. It has to be tomorrow.
Well, I hope so, and I hope that you're right about that. Obviously, you know, it's It's been a struggle for Curtis Painter, and obviously Cam Newton comes in to the stadium, and the Carolina Panthers were just put in the position. But the addition of rookie quarterback Cam Newton just hasn't solved all their problems. And coming off their bye, the Colts will try to avoid an 0-11 start for the first time in 25 years, and they will face a Panthers team. What is wrong
that
with me?
That coffee ain't working too good.
Something. Maybe I accidentally got decaf today or something. I have no idea. But obviously, you know, the Panthers have their own little problems going on. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Now, let's just move on down the line here. Minnesota, Atlanta. Obviously, Adrian Peterson looks like he's not going to play. The Atlanta Falcons had somewhat of a sloppy performance last week, but still managed to win. The players know they can make the same mistakes and still prevail, although they might be able to get away with it against the Minnesota Vikings, who, by the way, are not playing good at all this year. And here again, they don't have Adrian Peterson. So, you know, like I said, after a heartbreaking 26-23 overtime loss in New Orleans on November 13th, Atlanta is 6-4, bounced back with last Sunday's 23-17 win over Tennessee to pull them within one game of the NFC South, leading the Saints. Matt Ryan passed for 316 yards. Michael Turner rushed for 100 yards and a touchdown against the Titans. But the defending division champions were hardly spectacular. So let's look at this game, Brian. Minnesota at Atlanta.
I don't see Minnesota winning this at all. I see Atlanta just rolling all over them. And, you know, Adrian Peterson being out, you know, you got a young rookie quarterback, even though I think he is going to be their future quarterback, you know. They don't have a running back. And who their second string is, what's his name? Is it Gerhardt?
I'm not sure.
I think it is Gerhardt. But, I mean, he's just, you know, he's not a main back. I mean, he's one of those third down backs, and, you know, he's going to be getting all the carries, and it's just not going to go right for Minnesota. Atlanta's just going to roll all over him. I mean, I think Jared Allen's going to get, you know, a couple sacks, keep his, you know, good season going, but I think overall, I mean, it's just going to be a complete blowout.
Well, and I totally agree with you. I think without Adrian Peterson and just the way that Minnesota's been playing and with the way that Atlanta's been playing, I think this has just got a win for Atlanta written all over it. All right, well, let's talk about another game. Another game in our division, actually, the AFC, in our AFC division here. Houston at Jacksonville. Obviously, those Texans are the ones who are, you know, up front, and, you know, with Matt Schaub out for the season, it will likely fall on Linehart to lead the Texans to their first playoff berth. So let's talk about this game, Brian. Linehart may have had some help in his first start for the team, as All-Pro wide receiver Andre Johnson is expected to return from injury for Sunday's road meeting against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Linehart did not take a snap in 2010 after signing Houston, and has started consecutive games since 2007 while with Arizona, which drafted him number 10 overall the previous year. That will likely change for the former Heisman Trophy winner after Schaub was placed on injured reserve, or IR, Wednesday, and the Texans signed Kellen Clemens. So Schaub, will need surgery after hurting his right foot during a 37-9 win in Tampa Bay. So Brian, Houston and Jacksonville, is Houston got what it takes to get to their first playoff berth?
You know, I really think that Houston has what it takes. And Leonard, you know, he needs to rejuvenate his career. I mean, I'm a big fan of Leonard. I always thought he was going to be something when he came out, and I don't think he's ever had the chance to do it. And now that he's in a situation where there's no one behind him, really, you know, his back is against the wall, and he needs to come out and he needs to prove something. you know, not just to Houston, but to everybody, that, you know, he belongs in this league. And so, I mean, I really see, you know, from pretty much here on out, Houston to be, you know, a contending team. You know, Leonard, I mean, it's do or die for him. You know, and when you have a big target like Andre Johnson, I mean, you have to utilize it. You have to use him, and I believe that he will. And I think they have, you know, multiple weapons on that team, and, you know, I really believe that they're going to be in the playoffs. And of course, with, you know, us not doing nothing this year, you know, this is their best chance, and I believe that they're going to do it. This is going to be their year. I don't think they're going to go deep into the playoffs, but, you know, Leonard has to come out and, you know, rejuvenate his career, and, you know, because you know he's not going to get the start next year, Shaq coming back. So, I mean, he has to prove himself, and it's now or never.
All right, so there you go. So we'll be right back, and when we get back here at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take another time out here. When we get back, we're going to jump into some more NFL games. Obviously, for the next 30 minutes, guys, it's NFL talk. Give us a call, 917-889-8516, if you want to jump in the NFL conversation. We'll be right back. When we get back, we're going to talk more about the upcoming matchup between the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
No fiend, just a fiend, have been chilling out the villain, hey, you know what I mean. Got a kick-ass message.
Yo.
Hello, Shorty. What are you doing?
Nothing. Sitting here watching the game, smoking some bud.
Are you all alone?
What's up? What's up?
What's up? Who's that?
Yo, pick up the phone. What's up?
What's up?
Yo, Duke, pick up the phone.
Yo.
What's up?
What you doing, son?
Nothing. Just chilling. Chilling.
True, true.
What's up?
You know, get a classic of that. I tell you what, guys, what's up? It is the Balanced Gridiron on a Saturday morning. We're trying to plug on through here. 30 more minutes left, and we're deep into the NFL conversation. 917-889-8516 is our digits. Brian, Browns at the Bengals. For much of the past eight seasons, the Bengals, or as Gary would call them, the Bungles, have dominated the Cleveland Browns. If quarterback Andy Dalton can add to his solid rookie campaign, the Bengals might continue that mastery of the rivalry Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium. Cincinnati season opening 27-17 win in Cleveland on September 11th was the 11th and 14 matches with the Browns. The Bengals, 6-4, have prevailed in 6 of 7 home meetings. And enter this one having fallen just one short during consecutive 7-point defeats. Okay, Brian, Cleveland at Cincinnati, what are your thoughts?
You know, these are two teams I really don't know a lot about, but I will tell you this. I mean, that's a big rivalry down there, of course, you know, being right next door to each other. And it's not violent as rivalry as, like, say, Steelers and Ravens or, you know, something like that. But it's still, you know, a good game to watch. And, you know, those two teams always going at each other, all twice every season. And, you know, I like Andy Dalton, and, you know, I think this is, you know, like the year of the rookie quarterbacks. I mean, it was a good draft class, and, you know, Andy Dalton, I think, you know, is going to be their future, and with McCoy on there, I like McCoy too. And, I mean, I said earlier in the show, Peyton Hillis, I mean, if he plays, yeah, I think he just has that Madden curse. You know, there's something there. There's always something that happens, I think Bengals are probably going to prevail in this. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think it's going to be a well-fought game.
Well, I think you're right. I think it's going to be a really good game. And so we'll see what happens again in that game between the Bengals and the Browns. All right, moving on along, guys, and certainly we want to hear your thoughts on any NFL game that you want to talk about. But, you know, another good game coming up, though. I like the Bills, and I like the Jets, and, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick has did a good job up there at the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, the Jets have had a pretty good year. A Week 9 defeat in the New York Jets was the beginning of the Buffalo's current slide, though. Trying to end that skid and remain a playoff contender, only to get tougher without their star running back on board. Looking to avoid a fourth consecutive loss, what seems to be a lost Buffalo Bills try for some rare success against a Jets team that is hoping to end up with their own rough stretch Sunday, obviously at MetLife Stadium there. So, Brian, Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets.
The New York what? What did you just say? I think you just sad-tacked yourself again.
Buffalo Bills at the New York. What did I say?
You said Jets, and then you changed it to Giants. Which one is it?
No, Jets, Jets.
That's what you just said, Giants. Man, I just hope that, you know, tomorrow you wake up and you actually realize that, hey, I'm going to a game today and not thinking that you have to do a radio show tomorrow. You know, I mean, this is bad. But
exactly.
These two teams, the Bills at the Jets, okay. You know, these two teams, I think they both have, you know, they both have some issues. I mean, you know, the Bills, I think they're, you know, they're pretty much showing the team that who we thought they were going to be, you know, a 500 team. You know, Fitzpatrick, I don't really know what to think of him. I mean, I think, you know, signing him to that big contract that early, you know, just because, you know, he had a big breakout season this year. I mean, I think that was kind of too soon. And then, you know, the Jets, they started, you know, I think is it Mark Bulger? Is their backup? I want to say
For
Bulger.
The Jets? You might be right about that. I don't have all the depth charts out here.
I heard that Rex Ryan actually started giving him first offense snaps in, you know, practice. And, you know, he came on an interview and said, "Are you going to start to back up this game?" And he said, "No, you know, Mark's our quarterback, Sanchez's our quarterback, and that's it." Well, then, you know, if I'm Sanchez, you know, he ain't doing too good. He's not doing too good at all. And, you know, I think, you know, he's another one whose back's against the wall, and he needs to come out and say, hey, no, you know, I gotta get out of my slump and come out there and prove that, you know, they're still a contending team, because right now they don't look like it. They really don't look like it. They look like a 500 team. I mean, I think they look less, you know, below a 500 team. So, I mean, but I think the Jets are going to prevail over the Bills, but, you know, Sanchez needs to do something. Sanchez needs, he needs to come through.
All right. Two teams I have no problem pronouncing or knowing where they're at because there's only one of them in each location. Arizona, the state, the Cardinals. At St. Louis, the city, the Rams. Arizona Cardinals quarterback John Skelton led his struggling club to its first win streak this season while filling in for injured Kevin Kolb. A miserable performance from Skelton, however, helped bring that run to an end last week. If Kolb is unavailable again, Skelton will likely get the chance to bounce back while helping the Cardinals top the St. Louis Rams for the second time this month, tomorrow. So, Brian, what are your thoughts, the Cardinals and the Rams?
You know, I was waiting for you to say Arizona Rams and St. Louis Cardinals.
I'm surprised I didn't.
Yeah, you know, once again, I mean, these are, you know, two teams that I think that, you know, they still have a lot of issues, you know. Skelton, I mean, if he has to start, I think it's going to be hard for the Cardinals to get a win over the Rams. I mean, you know, Bradford, you know, he's an excellent quarterback, and I think he has, you know, plenty of weapons that people don't really know much about down there, and you know, I think that they're going to pull off a win.
Who, Arizona or the Cardinals?
You did it!
You shut me up, brother.
The Rams.
Fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Man, oh, man, oh, man. I wonder if I could get these 2 hours back. But it's okay.
You're almost done. It's a home stretch. You got 20 minutes left. Hang in there, buddy.
We've got the greatest fans around, that's for sure. Absolutely, guys. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Tennessee Titans. Matt Hasselbeck, obviously we talked about him earlier during the fantasy football huddle, and certainly has felt better, and he's dealing with some injuries at this certain point. And obviously the Tennessee Titans is a team that – and Tampa Bay, for that matter, but is a team that the Indianapolis Colts have faced this year, and obviously the Colts know Tennessee well, so I would say that you know these two teams pretty well. Tampa Bay and Tennessee, Brian, what are your thoughts?
Well, Tampa Bay, you know, off and on, all season, you don't know what they're, you know, who's going to come out on any given Sunday. And then Tennessee, you know, Chris Johnson, I just like he's been a big disappointment, you know, the whole season.
Brian, are you still with us? Hello, Brian. Are you there, Brian? We got you?
Are you there? Are you there?
We're here. We're here. Can you hear me now?
I got a couple bars. All right. Yeah, I'm driving right now. I don't even know where I'm at. I'm just like an hour and a half away, and you know, lose signal in and out. But I don't know how much of that conversation you caught, but I just think that Chris Johnson this year has been a big disappointment. I don't think he's going to do much against that Tampa Bay defense. And, you know, I don't wish anybody to, you know, get hurt. I don't, you know, wish, you know, someone to be out. But I really wish that Jake Locker would start. I mean, what I've seen from him last, you know, the last time he played, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. You know, I think there's going to be something there, and that definitely is the Titans' future. But, you know, I just always thought that Hasselbeck was kind of a mediocre quarterback. So, you know, I don't really know about this game. If I had to put my money on it, I would probably say the Buccaneers.
The Bucs. I think the Bucs will beat Tennessee.
Not by much.
The Bucs, not by much. Hey, that's a rhyme, my brother. That is a rhyme. All right, we're going to move on down the road here just a little bit. We've got, obviously, a brand-new quarterback out there in Oakland. Carson Palmer seems to be doing a good job, and speaking of quarterback situations, they go against Chicago Bears, who have lost their quarterback. So let's talk a little bit about Chicago at the Oakland Raiders.
You want me to start?
Go ahead. That's
okay. Yeah, Carson Palmer, I think, is actually, he's settling in. He's, learning everything about that offense, and, I think that's a really good fit. Being here in Illinois, I get to see, all the Bears games, which, I know Detroit Lions fans are going to love this, but I really don't like the Bears. So I'm looking for the Raiders to, blow them out. But, Chad Heaney, their backup quarterback, he played in the playoff game, against Green Bay when Keller decided that he was going to be hurt, and he didn't do too bad. He was firing balls in there 30 yards away with pinpoint accuracy. So, if you get that Chad Heaney, to show up at this game, I think the Raiders could have a problem. But, the Bears offense, the Bears have always been about defense. It's always defense, defense, defense. And, their offensive weapons, I don't really think that they're really much weapons. Forte, 50% of yards from scrimmage, I think, this year so far, more than that. He's going to get his carries. He's going to see the ball a lot. But, I really hope to say that the Raiders are going to win this.
Well, I think you're right. I think Chicago's going to struggle tomorrow. I think Carson Palmer's really getting this offense down. I think he's a good match out there at Oakland Raiders.
Where are they playing?
Chicago.
Are they playing in Oakland?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are? Yeah.
The Bears at Oakland. But, I think the Chicago Bears have been playing as well as just about any team in the league over the past month. But there again, now it appears that the thumb injury will keep Jay Cutler sidelined for the next several weeks. And the Oakland Raiders experienced a similar setback last month when Jason Campbell suffered a broken collarbone. But while the Bears are turning to be an unproven quarterback to lead them down the stretch, let's face it, Caleb Haney will make his first NFL start.
I want to take myself out to Chad Haney.
Caleb Haney.
Caleb
Haney. Or is it Chad? You might be right.
You might be right. I think it might be Caleb Haney.
There you go. A five-game winning streak has helped the Bears to go 7-3, moving into possession of one of the NFC's wild card spots. But making the playoffs could be tough, I think, absolutely, without Cutler. So, he's got a fractured thumb, so he's going to spend some time on the sideline. And Caleb Haney, we'll see what he can do. So I'm interested to see this game. I think it's going to be I think the Bears are going to struggle, and I really think that Oakland will come up with a win on this one. But we'll see. Okay, so tomorrow afternoon, late games, we've got Washington at Seattle. Obviously a West Coast game. It's been almost 2 months since the Redskins won a game, and they might be coming a knocking for Mr. Peyton Manning soon, and yet they've managed to remain very optimistic that things could get better. It just might be this weekend against the Seattle Seahawks. Brian? The Redskins and the Seahawks, what are your thoughts?
I really think the Redskins are going to win this one. Seattle is just, once again, another season they've been, disappointed. I just don't think that they, they get a couple wins, but they just really seem like they can't get it together, and they don't look, too good at wins. And the Redskins, I think, they're due for another win. And I really think that they're going to go in there and do it.
Well, I agree. I think Seattle, to me, has not proven to me in any way that they can win. And I think that the Redskins have a good opportunity to win tomorrow, and they really have been struggling. All right, another game I want to talk about, and we really talked about this earlier during the Fantasy Football Huddle, but I want to kind of break down this game. And obviously, who I'm talking about is the Chargers and the Broncos, Philip Rivers and Tim Tebow. You know, Denver coach John Fox decided to turn the offense over to Tim Tebow. Obviously, they've gotten rid of Kyle Orton, which I think was the only move they could make. Obviously, they can't keep three quarterbacks on the roster, and I think that you know, Kyle Orton is where he needs to be at. He's always been behind somebody. Kansas City gives him the opportunity to be a franchise quarterback, and I really, really think that he can do that. Now, obviously, Tim Tebow, 7 weeks ago against the Chargers, wasn't such a good turnout for the former Heisman Trophy winner. But Tim Tebow seems to be on a charge here, and he'll have 60 minutes to prove that he can beat the Chargers and Philip Rivers. And the Chargers, on the other hand, Brian, haven't won since, and they are in danger of falling out of contention in this division. So Denver at San Diego, Tim Tebow, Philip Rivers, what are your thoughts?
The Chargers, I don't think they're really a contending team. You know, since week four, pretty much. I mean, they've completely fallen apart. You know, Philip Rivers throwing picks like crazy. I mean, he cannot see the field at all. And nothing's happening over there. I mean, I think the coach is pretty much done. I think he's gonna probably get fired at the end of the season. You know, it's time to do something over there. And Tim Tebow. I mean, this guy's just awesome. I mean, if it's a close game, it comes down to the end, I really think the Broncos will win. But I really see that they're going to be – I think it'll come down to about 14-point games, what I'm really thinking of the Broncos. I mean, I think it's going to be one of those games that the score is going to kind of deceive what the stats really – if you really watch the game, I think it's going to be all Broncos this game. And I think Tebow, I'll throw for, one touchdown, two picks, but I think he's going to run in for one or two scores. I mean, I just kind of see that happen against that Chargers defense. And, with Rivers turning over the ball so many times, I mean, I think they're going to get a good field position. And, Tebow's not going to have that far to go to get, put up 6 points. And, I think full 60 minutes we're going to see is going to be a Tim Tebow show.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, we talked about this game earlier with Ed from Philadelphia, New England at Philadelphia, while the New England Patriots appear, really to be in a good position to win their third consecutive AFC East title. The Eagles hope they've begun to push to get closer to the playoffs, put it that way. In a matchup that might have seemed like a potential Super Bowl preview at the beginning of the season, the visiting Patriots look for a third consecutive victory Sunday against the Eagles team, trying to knock off its second straight division leader. After dropping consecutive games, Pittsburgh and the New York Giants, New England, 7-3, rebounded by blowing out the Jets and Kansas City by a combined 71-19 score. That two-game run has helped the Patriots build a two-game division lead over the Jets and Buffalo. Though its lead might be safe concerning New England's final six games, considering New England's final six games are against teams with a winning record, quarterback Tom Brady is far from satisfied. Now, Tom Brady, I mean, he's a great quarterback. We talked about this earlier. But I think that the Philadelphia Eagles can beat the New England Patriots. Brian, what are your thoughts?
At the beginning of the season when Peyton Manning went down, I had said that this is going to be a Super Bowl right here. It was going to be a Patriots-Eagles. And the Eagles, man, you don't have that chemistry together, you're not going to win. And look at the Patriots. I mean, they've always had a team of, they just seem like they're the team that can just throw anybody in there, and they seem to win, And, yeah, it's always, been Tom Brady's been back there taking the snaps and everything, but, I mean, Woodhead, Gronkowski, I mean, where do they get these people, where do they know? They just have, that look for raw talent, and, the Eagles, assembled the so-called dream team at the beginning of the season, and they just don't have that chemistry. And, with Vic being out, even though, you can't expect him to play the entire season, I think Vince Young, he still has some years left in him, but, I think that they have a chance, but I don't see the win. I think, Brady's going to put up some big numbers, especially now that Osmond's out, and I really think that the Patriots are going to win this one. I think that this is going to be one that the stats are going to be a lot bigger than what the score is, and, Brady might throw for 400 yards, but they only might win by 14 points. I just think it's going to be one of those games.
Well, I agree with you. I think this is going to be a really good game, and by no stretch of the imagination am I saying that New England has won all this. And I tell you what, anybody that can kick the ass of the Patriots, I'm down for 100%. I don't know if we're going to hear from Gary Snyder or not.
I love it. I love to see it. I love to see it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, I know. I think you're right. Well, let's try to get in one more game here. Pittsburgh at Kansas City. Obviously, we just talked about Kansas City picking up Kyle Orton. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, part of a tight race in the AFC North. The Pittsburgh Steelers have had a week of rest and hope a banged-up Big Ben, among others, is ready for the crucial home stretch run. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to need an entire offseason to get healthy. But what are your thoughts against the Chiefs and the Steelers?
I think this is pretty much a no-brainer. I see the Steelers just blowing them out completely. And I watched Tyler Pacheco last weekend, and he looked good at the beginning of the game, but that was pretty much it. You can't expect Orton to come in there and play with pretty much no reps in practice and just coming onto the team, but. The Steelers, I expect, a huge win. I don't expect this to be close. Whatever the point spread is, I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's enough. I really think the Steelers are going to go out there and just blow them out, and they don't have anything. They don't have no answer. The Chiefs have no answer for that Pittsburgh defense at all. They're going to look brilliant out there. I would not be surprised if the total offense for the Chiefs is under 150 yards the entire game.
Okay, guys, we're wrapping down here on time, and we're coming down to the two-minute warning. I know, Mr. Brian Jensen, you've got a lot to say about that game on Thursday. So, two-minute warning. Go, Brian.
Like I said before, I hope that we get our first home win tomorrow. But we have listeners in Detroit, and you guys have nothing to worry about. The Detroit Lions are going to be a good team. I like the Detroit Lions. I'm also actually a season ticket holder for the Detroit Lions, even though I haven't went to a game yet. I plan to, but I still haven't got his name right. Dominic Thune, whatever however you pronounce his name. He's a young player, and I believe he has anger management problems. But if he's possibly listening out there, or a friend of his is listening or something, pull the guy aside and tell him, you need counseling. You need to get counseling. You need to get this problem taken care of, because you do not want to be the Albert Haynesworth or the Terrell Owens or the Pac-Man Jones, someone that. No team wants nothing to do with you. You're a role model. You're doing commercials for Subway, and you did that thing for the Detroit High School a couple weeks ago. Bought them all new outfits after their locker room got broken into, and now he goes out and stops on somebody. This ain't the first case. This is the fourth or maybe possibly the fifth case. He needs to get it under control, and he's still young. He can still do it. Don't give up on him. He's going to be a good player. There's too much talent there to waste, and he needs to get help. He needs to get help, and someone needs to help him, and just don't give up on him. I'm still a fan of Sue, and I think he'll end up being all right. He just needs to get help.
All right, guys, that's going to do it right here on the Balanced Gridiron. Tomorrow it's the Colts, the Panthers. Brian and myself will be down there. Super Colts fan will be down there. Get on down to Lucas Oil Stadium. Cheer on the Colts for their first win. We'll catch up with you guys on Monday evening at 5 o'clock for myself, The Balance, and the Gary Snyder Show right here on the Balance Radio Network. Have a great weekend.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good.